Good morning. I invite you to be back at any opportunity that you have. We have someone who's never visited with us before, who will be regular, and that's Ryland's baby sister. Ryland, did you bring a visitor today? Huh? I'm not paying attention to you, he says. So, congratulations, and glad that she is here, and we'll appropriately gawk over her in a few minutes. We won't get too close, but we're proud for the Raines family. Tonight is Don't You Dare Miss It Sunday Night. Our brother Dan Smith is speaking, and so call a buddy, bring a friend tonight. Don't miss it. He is prepared. I've already, before I said it, you were ready, Dan, so I said, and that's where we're all going to be here. I can remember years ago, the community table at the City Cafe, they would rotate around who brought coffee that morning. And Mr. J.D. James, who ran James Concrete Block, he would buy, but it hurt him. So on the morning that it was J.D.'s time, everybody showed up. And one time they even put a little sign that coffee had gone up. So everybody show up tonight to support Dan. I know it'll be a great time. And he will do a good job. We want to be here tonight at 6. Because it is, I enjoy the men speaking because we get a different perspective and we learn from each other. And it is a good time to be together. But we do encourage you to be back with us tonight at 6 o'clock. Josh, you got to be here, brother. You're the one who dubbed it. Don't miss Sunday, so don't you dare miss it.
So. Don't miss
that. We're going to talk as we continue in our Sermon on the Mount. And what Paul read for us was from the words of Mary, filled by the Holy Spirit. Because after Mary finds out that she is going to have a child, that she is going to give birth to the Son of God, she goes to see Elizabeth, who is a kinsperson who at that time was pregnant with John the Baptist. And as we know, when Mary's greeting, when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, John, the baby, leapt inside of her, and it was a very special time. But Mary then speaks to Elizabeth in the words that Paul read for us. And obviously these were the words that God had sent her, because obviously she's taken aback by going to be the mother of the Son of God. Going to be a mother at all was quite a shock to her. But to realize the power of God and of His Son and of mercy and justice, and she talks about those who are hungry will be fed, and those who are filled will do without. And so we're going to talk this morning from the Sermon on the Mount, continuing in the Beatitudes, about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And as Jesus is coming, this is not a new teaching. It is part of the ministry of Jesus. It is what God is setting about. And I want us to talk for a moment about what that means. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Most of us, with some exceptions, have never been really hungry. Now, when I say that, there are times it's excuse me, at the end of a long day, where maybe you're hungry. You hadn't eaten all day and you've worked and you're hungry. But most of us haven't gone very long without food. Last year, I was privileged to do a funeral for a World War II POW. And it irked him when people would say they were hungry, because he said, "You don't know hungry." He said that one time I was marching and we went past a potato field and there was rotten potato. He said, "I broke line and grabbed rotten potato." He said, "I didn't know how good it was going to be, and I figured I'd shoot them, that the Germans would shoot me, but I was so hungry, I just didn't care." You know, I was just in such a state of hunger that I would eat anything and risk anything to get it. To be hungry. To hunger and thirst. Now, some of us maybe have been closer to being thirsty, because thirst tends to get us a little faster than hunger does. There are times when we're really thirsty, and when you just, if I could just get to some water. And I don't want it ice cold if I'm real thirsty. I don't know about you. I want it about tap temperature, because I can drink lots of that. But to be really thirsty. You know, the scene in Lonesome Dove, you might remember, where they're traveling across, and it's miles and miles to water, and you show them they're just on their horses bare there, and their lips are cracked open and parched, and they are just dying for water, dying for something to drink, to be thirsty. And when we're thirsty or hungry, but especially thirsty, because I think I can relate to that in a better way, what's on your mind? Finding something to drink, right? I mean, almost nothing else matters. And if a person is really thirsty, if we find something to drink, the cost really is not so relevant, right? And you know, bottled water is one of my pet peeves. That there's a water fountain right here for free, and I can go pay $1.29 for water in the convenience market for a little bottle of water. And then what really gets me is people stand in line for their $1.29 bottle of water. They're fussing about the $3 a gallon fuel at the fuel pump. And I'm going, figure out how much that water and that bottle's costing you. And, you know, big oil's making too much money. What about them folks that are just pumping water, putting it in the bottle, putting a deal on it, and selling it to you for $1.29? But if I'm thirsty, do I care what that cost is? I'm just thirsty. I'll pay whatever. A prime example of that is Esau. Esau was hungry. Now, was Esau hungry because he'd been a prisoner of war? Was Esau hungry because he had been deprived food because of famine for a long period of time? No. Esau had been out. He'd been hunting. I'm sure that being out and exerting himself, he was hungry, but it wasn't like food was never coming. But he was so hungry, or thought he was so hungry at that time, what was he willing to do? So I'll sell my inheritance for something, just something to eat. And we look at that and say, wow, really? Really? Couldn't he have waited for dinner for another 30 minutes or an hour? I don't know how long it would have been. You know, it's almost like at home. We got to have some chips now, but we're fixed to eat in a minute. You know, well, I've just got to have something. So he sells his inheritance, and not only the possessions of his inheritance, but the position that comes with his inheritance for some soup. That was a poor decision, but he was hungry. For all of us who've studied marketing in any level, or human interaction at any level, we've studied Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, because it really does affect where we are. Maslow would say there are foundational needs that we have for food, clothing, shelter, protection, and if those aren't satisfied, you know, other things aren't going to matter. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody doesn't have anything to eat, you're not going to sell them a Tempur-Pedic mattress. They're not interested. They're hungry. Now, if they've got plenty to eat and they've got shelter and they're not sleeping well, that mattress might appeal to them. But if they've got nothing to eat, none of that matters. There are levels. And so the first levels are just for food and water and survival. What is that we hunger and thirst after? What motivates us? And it's important for us to spend this time to study that, because what Jesus is saying is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied, will be filled, will have an abundance. But what is it that we hunger and thirst after? Jesus will tell parables that are recorded for us that the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a man who finds a treasure buried in the field. And what does he do? He sells everything he has to buy the field. Why? because he knows there's treasure there. And so if I buy the field, I get the treasure. What does he desire? What is he after? The field. What about the man who finds the pearl of great value? And he desires the pearl, so he says everything else to obtain the pearl. Hungering and thirst for righteousness. When righteousness becomes the most important thing, that we hunger and we thirst for it. We desire it. Because for those things that we hunger and thirst after become a priority for us, don't they? Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? It's a question we should all ask ourselves. Because I eat and drink every day, multiple times, most days. There'll be no reason to make comments in the foyer. It's just a fact. But also, we know that we need it. One, we need it, right? We just had a conversation this morning as we were singing, as school's getting ready to start, and grandma's instruction is, eat breakfast every morning so you can have a good day, right? It's important to us. Nourishment is important. We just have to have it to survive. We won't make it very long if we don't eat and we don't drink. But we provide for it. We have nice kitchens in our homes. We have refrigerators. We have convection ovens and regular ovens and microwave ovens and all kinds of things. And I'm just saying, we make all provisions for that, and it is important. But are we making provisions to seek righteousness? Are we hungering and thirsting after that which is right, which is righteous? What does that mean? The hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's about hungering and thirsting for the ways of God, the things of God, for peace, for justice, caring for others. What does Jesus say? What's Jesus say that's important? What does everything else hinge on? What does everything else balance on? Loving God and loving our neighbors, right? Loving God and loving our neighbors. Seeking God and His ways and caring for others. Doing what's right. Walking in God's ways. Is that what we strive for? Is that what we strive for? Is that what's important to us? Because Jesus says if we'll hunger and thirst for that, and we'll talk about what we seek. What we seek first, what's important. But if we're hungering and thirsting for God's ways, to do what God would have us to do, to esteem others higher than we do ourselves, loving others, then we'll be filled. And the words that Jesus uses are not just that we'll have enough, but that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will have an abundance. They will have more than enough. There will be a time when they have more than plenty. And there's a contrast in Luke. We'll kind of give the contrast, but there are those who just seek to fill themselves now, not with righteousness, but just seek to be filled with the pleasures of the day, whether that be food or pleasure. And God has given us those things to enjoy, but where in some of the passages there is the thought that there's a condemnation of people because their stomach has become their God. And that's the contrast. Their stomach has become their God. And it's not that it's just about food, but it's about satisfying my wants, desires, becomes the most important thing. And so I spend life fulfilling my own needs. And Jesus contrasts that with hungering and thirsting, seeking out the ways of God. And the contrast is those who seek to fill themselves with pleasures only today, There'll be a time when they're hungry. They will receive their reward now. That's all that there is. But for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. They will have an abundance in the days that are ahead, in the world that is to come. We go back to the garden. Adam and Eve are in the garden, where God has provided plenty for them. Plenty. There is a garden where there is plenty. But what does Satan come and do? He tells them to eat of the one fruit they were not supposed to eat. And he gives them multiple reasons for that. Multiple reasons. One, Eve looks, it's attractive. And that's important when it comes to our food, right? You bet it is. There are people who have degrees in food presentation. Why is it at 8:30, 9 o'clock every night, if you're watching television, there are ads for food? And I mean, it's hot right in the window and they're pouring some kind of sauce over it, and you're trying to go, I'm going to bed, I'm not going to eat anything else. And you just want to, but also the other trick, if you have an, you know, when you're homesick with an upset stomach or whatever, those ads are as unappealing as they are appealing when you're hungry, right? But that food, it looks so good. You know, at the Kroger's, they got little misters on the fruit because it looks like the morning dew is just right on it. The reason I say it, when Satan tempts Eve, she says, this looks good. And it looks like it would be good for food. Hey, this is what you need, Eve. This will be nourishing. I know you've got all this other, but this will be really good. And it will make us wise. We will be smarter, wiser, better than we are now. It's not what God said, but it will be better. We see that, and there's a frustration, I think, in all of us as we read the Genesis account and say, just one fruit and you ate? But I think all of us look at our own lives and say, how difficult is it for us to make our desire to be to seek the things of God? It's so easy to become distracted on other interests, on other wants, on other needs. And remember that Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst for the ways of God, for righteousness, if you'll love God and love others, soon and very soon, you will be filled to overflowing. You will be satisfied that God will care for you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's really the same question, where is our heart? Because wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart will be, right? What's important to us? What do we hunger for? There's one thing I like about moving our sermon time to 10 o'clock versus 11. I'm not as close to standing between you and lunch as I used to be. You know, when we didn't get out to 12 or after, it was pushing some of you. Now we got a little bit of a buffer, but I'm not going late today, so relax. It's all good. Because we're in a routine, and we get hungry, and we look for that. But I want to tell you, I know there's times it seems for me that fall, when it starts to get cool, food just tastes better, which is really a bad thing. Because at this point, my clothes are not fitting good going out of the hot summer when food's not as appealing into the time when it is more appealing. This is a bad sign, and I understand that. But there's just something about on a fall night that food just seems to have a better taste. And, you know, I like country ham all the time, but on a cool morning, a chilly morning, it's just got a little better. And I'm going to tell you when things are really good. when you've gone all day without eating and you've worked hard and it's cool and you're tired and you come in and there's a hot meal and you can sit down and eat and relax. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it really is. And for some of you, I knew a fellow, he said, you know, I just eat to live. And he was perfectly satisfied with eating very small amounts. He said, I only eat enough to survive. I don't get a lot of joy out of eating. I just eat to survive. I said, well, brother, I live to eat. And that's just, I wish I were more like you, but those are the facts. Those are the facts. But there's something about at the end of the day. The reason I tell you that is sometimes on a day when I know there's a good meal coming, I want to avoid snacking on anything because I say, I'm going to wait and eat a good meal tonight. The reason I share that with you because I think all of you can relate to that. That Jesus is saying if we will hunger and thirst for righteousness and we seek it, then the Lord will bless us in filling us where we are satisfied, where we relax, and where God's blessings are good. We can relate to that in our physical lives. How about spiritually? Where we hunger and thirst for God's righteousness and let Him fill us with that which is good. Because to snack on junk never satisfies. It only keeps us going for a little while. But Jesus said, if you'll seek my righteousness, you will be filled. You will be satisfied. It will be good. Mary knew that Jesus was coming to bring down the strong and to uplift the weak. To take from those who had been full and give to those who were hungry. Jesus is saying, seek God's ways, seek His righteousness, and you will be filled. Here's the truth that Jesus was teaching, and which I hope that we know. The kingdom of God is where we truly find peace and comfort and satisfaction. The Apostle Paul began to see that as he says, you know, as he prays about and talks about that he had a peace that passed all understanding. That even in the midst of the turmoil of his life, the beatings, the imprisonment, the turmoil within the church, that he was at peace because why? He had trusted in God. And even though he didn't understand it, he was at peace. When we seek God's ways and put God first and seek the best of others, we realize that God will fill us. That when the drive of our life is to be of service to God and our fellow man, that's what God has called us as part of our service, loving God and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, that we will find satisfaction, that we'll be filled, that it will be good. Satan will tell each one of us, look, that was great for Jesus' teaching. You know, that was wonderful. Those apostles who wanted to leave their nets and follow Him, that was great. But for you and today, that's just not realistic. But the same promises are true. The names have changed. Our situations are kind of different. But the basic nature is the same. That what Satan gives doesn't satisfy, and what God gives does. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Jesus invites us to be a part of His kingdom where all good things are because every good and perfect gift comes from God. Don't let Satan distract us, pull us apart. Jesus is saying, let your desires, that basic, as well as the basic needs of your life, be seeking the righteousness of God. Jesus emptied Himself of heaven, of the glory of heaven, of the privilege of heaven, of the comfort of heaven, to do what? To be obedient to the Father, because He loved God and He loves us, and now God has exalted Him, an example for us. Jesus gave that we might be filled. He emptied Himself that we might be filled, that He might be exalted. If you need to respond to that, do that while we stand and sing.